4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and stand to your feet as we read the Word of God for today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is, 2 Timothy is the last letter as far as what we have recorded, the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul was basically on death row. Well, he was on death row in Rome, about to be killed. Paul was on death row because he was preaching about Jesus. And Rome was found that as a threat and arrested him and was about to kill him. And so 2 Timothy is Paul writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And that is where we pick up in chapter 4, verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. This is what he says to Timothy. Paul says this to Timothy: "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens went to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Verse 13, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. And Alexander," listen to verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words." In verse 16, "At my first defense," at my first trial, he says, "no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." May it not be charged against them. Help me to preach this thing and turn to your neighbor on your left or on your right, your choice. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor." No, come on, say it a little more enthusiastic. Say, "Neighbor,
why are you
in my life?" Ooh, if your husband and wife said that, I want to know the answer. No, I'm just kidding. All right, you may be seated. Listen. I have opportunity to travel every now and then and love to travel, love to fly. Much more so than I love to drive or like driving. But I like to fly. And every now and then I have a buddy that lives in Las Vegas. He lives in Las Vegas. So if you find me going to Las Vegas, I'm not going there to gamble. I'm not going there to do that, anything. I'm going to see Rick, my friend Rick, my childhood friend. And every now and then I'll go to Las Vegas. I remember on one occasion I took note of the trip that I took to Las Vegas. I went to the San Antonio International Airport. I went to my gate, and I noticed it was a crowded flight. And we all got onto the flight, and we took off from San Antonio. And I believe, if I remember correctly, our connection was in Phoenix. And we connected in Phoenix, Arizona. And so we started off in San Antonio, and I got off in Phoenix Airport, and I had to go to another gate to get my connecting flight that would take me to Las Vegas. I began to notice something. I noticed that some of the people that started with me in the San Antonio International Airport, when we got to Phoenix, they went one way, I went another way. There were some people that when I went to the gate that I had never seen before, but they got on the same plane that I got on my connecting flight to Vegas. But then there were some people that got on the flight with me in San Antonio and also got on the same flight connecting in Phoenix. My brothers and sisters, what I began to notice about that is that some people started with me from the beginning and went the whole way. Some folks I met along the way. And then there were some folks that got off at a certain juncture of my journey. And isn't that how life is? Is that you have some folks in your life that have been with you from the very beginning, and they'll be with you till the end. Then there are some folks that you will notice will get off at certain junctures in your journey. And it may be good for them to get off at that juncture, But you'll notice that some folks will leave at certain times. Then on other occasions, you'll find that you'll meet new people. Several of us here have met each other for the first time, and it's interesting how God will allow us to meet new people to take us the next leg of our journey. And that is what I want to consider on today as we look at this particular passage. Because Paul, as he is nearing the end of his life, begins to look over the course of his ministry, look over the course of his life, and he notices a similar thing that I noticed, that some folks have been with me from the very beginning, and some folks got off at a certain juncture, and there are some people who were added to my journey. That's really what Paul is talking about in this particular text. And the reason that that is relevant to us today is because sometimes we try to hold on to people who really should get off at a certain point in our lives. And sometimes we miss the opportunity to meet the people that God wants in our lives that will help us get to another level. And today we want to just look at some things in this particular passage. It's an interesting passage because Paul begins to run down a list of names. And normally when we read the scriptures, if you are anything like me, if you read the scriptures and you see some of those difficult to pronounce names, sometimes you just skip over them. And don't think any, well, maybe I'm the only one that does that, but sometimes I'll just skip over and don't even realize what's happening in the text. But there's some interesting stories behind the names that are in this particular passage. But in order for us to understand that, we have to understand some things about why are these particular people in Paul's life? And why are people, some of the people that are in our lives, why are they there in the first place? And here I want to come from this particular thesis, if you will. That some people are in our lives. Some are only in our lives for a season. But everyone is in our life for a reason. Yeah, that's where we want to come from. Some are only in our lives for a season, but everyone's in our life for a reason. There's a reason that you connected with someone or bumped into someone, and sometimes we can miss it. The first thing that I see in this text, and the first thing I think is applicable to us, is that some people will bring out, there's several things that people will bring out of us, but some people will bring out or take notice of your vulnerability. Everybody say vulnerability. Some people bring out our vulnerability. If you didn't know, you and I are some vulnerable folks, and some of us a little more so than others, but because we've learned to overcome some things. But Paul, likewise, was a vulnerable person. Here he is at the toughest point of his life. He is about to be killed. He's about to be beheaded, as history tells us that they did to him in Rome. And here he is, reaching out, looking around, trying to see, is there anybody around me that's here that has my back? And the Bible tells us that everybody deserted him except for one. And isn't that interesting? That when you face adversity, that's when you really discover who your true friends are. And sometimes the only way you can know and you can determine who really has your back is when your back is against the wall. That's really the only time, because when everything is going well, when everything is going smooth, when you got money in your pocket, when you got food in your refrigerator, it's people that are around you, people that want to kick it, people that invite you to places. But let all hell break loose in your life and you'll soon discover who really has your back. And it may surprise you because it may be some of the closest folks to you that are nowhere to be found when you really need them. And I know I'm not the only one. If you haven't experienced this, as the old folks said, keep living. And you will experience that folks will leave you when you need them the most. And some people will bring out your vulnerability. Look at what it says in verse 10. It says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. And then he gives a list of other people that have also left and gone to various places. Understand that some people will look at your vulnerability and respond in a couple of different ways. Some people will exploit your vulnerability. They'll exploit it. They'll see that there's some area that you're vulnerable, that you're weak in. And some people will exploit that. Some people will take advantage of that. Or, my brothers and sisters, some people can't handle that. And such is the case with Demas in the text. When Paul was arrested, when Paul was put on death row, Demas said, listen, I ain't about to go into that kind of trouble. I'm out of here. And so when the going got tough, Demas got going. And some of us have some people in our lives, instead of us having some road dogs, instead of our girls being right by our side, when we get into some trouble, they're out faster than we can imagine because they do not want to get caught up in the same things that we've been caught up in. And some people will bring out your vulnerability. But here's the good news about it. Because it helps you to see who's really around you. And so sometimes when you find yourself in trouble, don't dismiss it and don't say, oh man, I wish I wasn't in this situation. I mean, none of us want to be in trouble. None of us want to face adversity. But you've got to learn that there are some reasons that God allows his children to get into adverse situations. Because sometimes that's the only way for you to recognize that there's some people that are dragging you down and some people that are holding you back. And the only way that you'll let them go is if they let you go. Come on, y'all, let's be honest. That the only thing that has caused some of our relationships to end is trouble. And we would have held on to some people. We would have kept being friends with some people if not for something coming up in our life. Because some people bring out or they enhance that vulnerability. But then there are some in our lives, there's always good news, there's some in our lives that help us with our vulnerability. They're not there to exploit us, but they're there to encourage us to overcome that vulnerability. And he says in the text, he says, all of these people have left me. Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. All of these folks have left, all of these folks are gone. And he says, but Luke is still with me. Luke is with me. Now, this is talking about Luke that wrote Acts and the Gospel according to Luke. This is Luke. Luke has been with Paul. He has hung with Paul. He has been by his side. And Paul says, Luke has been my boy, has been my road dog. That's been my man right there because he's right there with me. Through it all, he's there. And isn't it good to have some friends like that? Isn't it good to have some people in your life that you know, no matter what circumstances you face, they'll be right there with you? And my challenge to you today, my brothers and sisters, is that you have to identify what type of people that you have around you. Will they exploit your vulnerability or will they encourage you to press through? What kind of folks do you have around you? But then a second part to the challenge is, what kind of friend are you? When trouble calls on your friend, when your friend, some of us right now, we know that we got somebody in our lives right now that is going through a storm. And what are we doing to help them? What are we doing to help them? Have we called them? Have we sent them an encouraging email? Have we sent them a nice text saying, I'm thinking about you? What are we doing to encourage that person in their time of vulnerability? Every single one of us knows somebody, or we know someone that will go into a time of vulnerability. What are you going to do when they do? Amen. Some people that are in our lives will bring out vulnerability to either exploit it or encourage us. But then there's a second thing. Some people that are surrounding us, not necessarily bring out our vulnerability, but some people that are around us bring out our vices. Our vices. Everybody say vices. Vices. That word vice means something that is a shortcoming, a flaw, something that we do, something illicit that we like to do. That vices. In other words, my brothers and sisters, we know that there are some people in our lives, if we wanted to sin, they wouldn't stop us. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. I guess I'm the only one that knows somebody like that. Y'all trying to fool me in this place, some of the people I know. That if I wanted to mess up and do some crazy stuff, they wouldn't stop me. If I wanted to do something crazy, they may even provide a way for me to be able to do it. Because some people bring out your vices. Now listen, it doesn't really matter what your shortcoming, what your vice may be. Some people can push that button. And whatever it is that you enjoy doing. If you like smoking, some people will be right there to light it up. If you like drinking, some people will uncork the bottle for you. If you like doing certain things, there's some folks around you that'll be right there to help you out. Y'all know I'm not lying. Come on. Some people will bring out your vices. Now, how does that apply to Paul? It's interesting because there's two names that he mentions that are two polar opposites of his life. Because one name that he mentions is the name Mark. Everybody say Mark. Now, Mark is a person that Paul, years before, had dismissed from his life. Mark is somebody that had deserted Paul when Paul was trying to do ministry. And Mark was somebody that Paul said, I don't want to have any dealings with this man anymore. He ain't about nothing. And he got into a fight with another one of the disciples and split the group of disciples that was spread in the gospel of Jesus Christ because he did not want Mark to be anywhere around him. But what does it say about Mark in this text? It says, Paul tells Timothy, go get Mark, because Mark is useful to me for ministry. He tells him, go get Mark, because Mark is useful to me for ministry. So somewhere in between that breakdown in relationship when Paul was telling Mark, you can no longer be around me. I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. Somewhere between that point and this particular point, there was reconciliation. And how does that help us today? It helps us today to understand something, that some people that are in your life that you don't like right now, you may need them one day. I know that sounds elementary and it's almost embarrassing to preach it, but some of us don't get that thing, that you better be careful how you treat folks now, because you never know when the day will come where you will need that very person to help you in a situation. Paul dismissed Mark in the past, but Paul needed Mark today. And some of us recognize and understand that there's some folks that we treated bad in the past, and the truth be told, it's those very same people that seem to come right back around in our lives. Why? It's because God is giving you opportunity to get it right. And none of us should hold something against people, because we are a forgiving people. And if God does not hold stuff against us, why are we holding stuff against others? Mark is a demonstration of Paul forgiving someone. He forgave him. You messed up, you blew it, you left me deserted, you left me stranded, but I'm not going to hold that against you. In fact, Timothy, go get Mark, because he can help me out right now. And somebody today, that's what you need. You needed to hear about Mark. Because somebody in here today, there's somebody in your life that God sent me by my way to heaven to tell you, you need to get that relationship right. And you need to forgive that person for whatever it is that they did to you. Paul is at the end of his life. What business did he have holding on to anything like that? He had changed the relationship between himself and Mark. And he said, Mark, you once dogged me out, but now you are a benefit to me. Now, somebody is sitting there and you're saying, well, the person that may come to mind, they hurt me so bad. I think that that's a difficult thing for me to do. Well, I want to help you out on that, because there's another name that Paul mentions. He mentions a man named Alexander. Alexander is a coppersmith, as the Bible tells us. He says in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Now, we look at that and we just skip over that and we don't recognize that Paul just said something pretty major right there. He said Alexander the coppersmith is a hater. Alexander the coppersmith is trifling. Alexander the coppersmith ain't up to no good. And he says, but I'm going to let God handle that. That's what he says. So he recognizes that there are some people in our lives that do not have our best intentions at heart. In fact, there are some people in our lives that want to snuffle out the very thing that God has placed inside of us. But how does Paul respond to that? He says, I'll let God handle that. I'll let God handle that. Instead of him making the choice and saying, Timothy, listen, I want you to go by and see Alexander the coppersmith. And this is what I want you to do.
I want you to go knock him upside his head. I want you to go do something. I want you to spread some bad rumors about him. I want you to go do something. I want you to put it on Facebook. I want you to get into a beef with him. See, I can't access Facebook from prison, so I need you to start some stuff with Alexander the Coppersmith. I need you to do some side stuff. I need you to do that. That's not what he tells him to do. Even though Alexander had done him wrong, Paul said, I'll let God handle that. There are some people in your life that the only agenda they have is to hurt you. God, that's the only agenda they have. That's the only thing that if you looked up and looked into their phone and saw their agenda, it would say hurt such and such. That's the agenda that they have, is to hurt you. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, nobody hurts and trying to hurt me because I'm just an angel. I'm just wonderful. And everybody loves me. No. Because Jesus said the world hates you. And somebody don't like you. Somebody don't. I mean, they just don't. And the reason that they don't like you is because you love Jesus. And so since you love Jesus, you're going to face some people like Alexander the Coppersmith. Alexander was trying to snuff Paul out because he was talking about Jesus. Alexander was trying to shut Paul up because he was talking about Jesus. And so many folks need to recognize, brothers and sisters, that there are people in our lives that may smile in your face, but on their agenda is, how can I hurt her? Now go and do an inventory of your friends and the folks that are around you. And don't call and say, I think you're Alexander the Coppersmith. Just do what Paul said. What did Paul say? But I'll let God handle that. Let me tell you about that. What in the world could Paul do that would be worse than what God can do? What could Paul do that could be worse than Alexander falling into the hands of God? And so what can you and I do to somebody? Ooh, you said something bad about them on Facebook. Ooh, you just bad. Ooh. But what good is that going to do compared to what God can do? Can I help you with that? Because somebody talked about you in the past, but it didn't change you. But when the Holy Spirit got a hold of you, now you're a different person. It's totally different. Sticks and stones may break my bones with words. And, you know, we say all of that kind of stuff. Now, listen, that's a lie, because you throw some sticks and stones, I mean, it's going to hurt. And words are going to hurt. And all of those things are going to hurt. But what is going to change a person is God. And Paul still says, may the Lord do to him according to his works. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important for us to recognize that there's some people in our life that bring out our vulnerability. Some people bring out our vices. We've got to be able to recognize, is the people that are around us, are they going to enable us to sin? Are they going to bring that out of us and cause us to be unforgiving or cause us to be dismissive of them? Or are there some people in our life where their only agenda is to hurt us, to harm us, to try to get us to react? We've got to ask those questions, and we have to understand, why are there certain people in our lives? And there's one last thing. Some people bring out the vulnerability in you. Some people bring out your vices. But some people are in your life to bring you through the valley. That's what it is. Some people are in your life to bring you through the valley. Here is Paul talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, Timothy, come to me quickly. I need you to come to me. But look at what he says in verse 15. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, bring my cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and the books, especially the parchments. He's telling Timothy, I need you to come to me quickly. I need you to bring my cloak, my coat. He's saying, it's cold up in here. It's cold up in this prison. I need you to bring my favorite cloak. And he says, bring my books so that I can study and do these types of things. He's letting Timothy know, Timothy, you are of value to me. And the truth is, my brothers and sisters, we have so many people that want to cause us hate and harm just because we are believers, just because because we are children of God or just because we have good ideas and just because we are achieving things. We have people that are already coming at us. So when you have someone in your life that is down for you, when you have someone in your life that has your back, you ought to treasure that person and lean upon that person. And here's my challenge again. But are you that type of person? Can you be Timothy in somebody's life? That when they're going through a trial, when they're going through something, somebody can call on you and they know that they can depend upon you? Paul says something to him. He says, come quickly. He's telling them you need to come before the winter time because everything is going to shut down. The travel to be able to come from where you are to where I am is going to shut down. You need to come to me as soon as you can. He said, don't come empty-handed, though. I need you to bring the cloak. I need you to bring my favorite cloak, and I need you to bring my books. And what is that talking about? Why is that so significant to us today? Because when you are looking for people in your life that will help you, when you are looking for people in your life that God will plant in your life to help you, you can identify some things about those people. Those people that God places in your life that will advance you, that will help you, are people who are willing to come to your side. Come to your side. He told Timothy, Timothy, I need you to come as soon as possible. Come to my side. Come visit me. And there are some people in our lives, if we go through something, we can call them and they'll come. Amen? And there are some people that we could call and they will not answer the phone. Right? And some of us in here, we know we didn't answer the phone. Somebody called last night or yesterday. We didn't answer the phone because we don't want to be bothered with it. But people who are of value to us are people who will come to your side. People who are of value to you are people who will comfort you. When he tells Timothy, I need you to bring my cloak, I need you, he's saying, it's cold where I am. And there's some people in your life right now, and you've been in this situation where you've been in cold places, and you just needed somebody to comfort you. And that's a true friend. That's a real friend. Somebody who will come to your side and someone who will comfort you. And my brothers and sisters, that's what Paul is calling upon for Timothy. Timothy, I need you by my side. I need your friendship. I need you because you are serious and you are sincere and you have helped me many times before. These other folks are phony. These other folks are fake. But Timothy, I know you are real. And my question to you today is, do you have people in your life that you know you can count on like that? That you know if you were in trouble and you were in a cold, dark place, if you knew that you were in a situation that you could not turn around, do you have people in your life that you know would be there for you? Now, many of us say, well, my family, my this, my that. But again, be careful, because adversity will reveal some things about folks that are around you. Do you have folks who will come to your side? Do you have folks who will comfort you? Then the last thing, he says, bring my books, especially the parchments, which could have been the Old Testament scrolls that he's talking about. He says, bring my stuff. He said, Timothy, I need somebody to come to my side. I need somebody to comfort me. I need somebody to help me. But I need somebody to encourage me. And by you bringing my books, I'm on death row. But by you bringing my books, that means that you even have faith that I can continue on. Here's what I mean. Why would he bring his books? Paul, you about to get killed, man. What you need all these books for? But sometimes you need a friend that even sees that you're jacked up, messed up, your situation looks bleak, and they still will encourage you to press on. That's the kind of friend that we ought to be. That's the kind of friends that we need in our lives. That's the kind of people we need. And last thing, if you're saying, well, I don't have people like that, I've got good news for you.
Because that's who Jesus is to us. That's who Jesus is. He'll reveal your vulnerability because he'll show you that you need him. He'll bring out your vices. You know why? Because it's just like the iron. When the iron is melted down and the fire gets hot enough, the impurities rise to the surface. That's what Jesus does. He'll allow those vices, that stuff that you like to do, it will come to the surface. Why? So he can scoop it away and out of your life. That's what he'll do. And of course, he will bring you through your valleys because he is our shepherd. And he'll walk with us through every circumstance we find ourselves in. If you don't have a friend, family member, somebody that you can count on like that, you don't have to crawl in the corner and be sorry for yourself or anything like that, because you've got a friend named Jesus. And he'll be with you even to the very end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet.